From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now, or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They called me Bed. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Andrew the Triforce Howard. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. And folks, we are returning to you after an Easter weekend as we record on Monday, April 21st. Happy 420 to all who celebrated. Yeah. Another correlation of holidays there.
It was a nice confluence. It was a nice crossover. Yeah, everyone was super mellow at the Easter egg hunt. And also, RIP the Pope.
Right, Pope Francis has passed away.
That means they're going to have to do the whole thing, right, with the white smoke?
Right.
Yeah,
the conclave, the black smoke if they don't reach a decision, the white smoke when they find the new head of the Catholic Church.
Did y'all see the movie Conclave that was recently? I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was an interesting way of really dramatizing that, but not being too heavy-handed. If anyone hasn't seen it and want insight into the process we're about to go through in the news, check it out.
Interesting, yeah, because the Vatican is big with diplomatic immunity ever since the Vienna Conventions.
Ooh, good time.
Oh, that's the thing. We're talking about diplomatic immunity. Now, in our first chapter on this, we had so much to get to because it's a, I don't know if it's surprising, but it is an ancient concept. That is where the old trope, don't kill the messenger, comes from. You know, imagine, what was the example we had? Matt and Noel as respective rulers of their lands, and they had to make sure that the guy they sent to talk to the other team was able to send and deliver, or was able to go and return safely. That's what diplomatic immunity is supposed to allow you to do.
Yeah, and at its heart, it makes a lot of sense for, you know, perhaps opposing forces to be able to communicate for the purposes of either getting ready for a conflict or, you know, hopefully maybe hashing things out. But that kind of dispensation for an individual carrying important matters of state between these two factions, it's very important for both parties, for that individual to be considered off limits in terms of, you know, immediate retributions. Like, y'all will have your time. Let's work things out and figure out some parameters, and then we can murder each other.
Yeah. There are a lot of moments, too, which are frankly cinematic, even though this is the real world. I'm always reminded of the propaganda shows where someone gets busted for criminal activity and they get into, you know, the interrogation room and they say, actually, I'm an undercover cop. Because there have been cases where people claim diplomatic immunity and appear to be civilians, which don't get that special dispensation or indulgence, dare we say.
That's a good word for it, Ben. Yeah.
It's an indulgence. You know, Catholics or Catholicism is on our minds today. It's the idea, or there have been moments where a government will say, okay, we have you dead to rights, right? You know, we're the government of Pakistan. You shot two people who walked up to your car. You shot one of them in the back. And then they say, actually, I have diplomatic immunity. What? No, you don't. You're just an IT guy.
Yeah.
And
well,
then
yeah,
the story
but
unfolds.
If you're an IT guy for the State Department, then perhaps there is something to discuss there. Mm-hmm. Because there are many a civilian-looking person that work for any country's State Department that end up in situations. But as we talked about in the first episode, usually diplomatic immunity is a thing that is stated to some responding officer, like the initial encounter with some law enforcement, no matter where you are. That's when a card comes out.
Yeah, I was going to ask. We talked about the pouch and all of that, but there are obviously very well established credentials that one could produce in such a, you know, encounter.
absolutely. And to be considered a working diplomat, you are issued credentials for your time in the country that you're working in, right? And
like a one-time thing, like per use kind of?
Your credentials expire when you move on to a different country. So in the case of the U.S. State Department, it's there's a thing where you serve essentially a tour for a few years in one country.
That's
then
right.
You move to another country. Your diplomatic credentials follow with you country per country. So you can't do a number of years in Ghana and then just on a lark go back to Ghana and say, nah, I'm not paying parking tickets.
You can't just hop around. There's no like diplomatic immunity tourist package or whatever. I mean, you are typically stationed somewhere for a time and then are reassigned, you know, and this is all above board, at least in terms of the issuing government, the issuing country, right?
Yeah, correct.
It should be noted that it's funny, we talked about it before, like when you're talking about an embassy and diplomats and a consulate and consuls. One thing we didn't bring up last time are honorary consuls.
I love an honorary anything.
Well, yes.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Honorary consuls, aka shadow diplomats, is something ProPublica talked about a few years ago, and we mentioned it. We talked about, like, what is that? What the heck is an honorary consul, and how does that work? And what kind of vetting process goes into making someone an honorary consul for a country?
Is it like getting an honorary degree where you're a luminary in some field and they're just like, oh, this guy clearly could be a huge boon to us in terms of diplomacy, right? Is that the
sort
idea?
Of, I like that comparison because it is shadow diplomacy is a part of diplomacy. It is murky. It's such a... as weird as it sounds, even in 2025, a lot of this stuff goes down to like gentlemen agreements. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
We have a special relationship with the United Kingdom. We're sorry this kid died, but we're going to work out some stuff. Or in Pakistan, where the U.S. will pay the blood price, or called Dia under Sharia law. But yeah, there's so much to this. And I love that we're pointing out, you know, at the very beginning, as you said, Noel, diplomatic immunity is supposed to be a protective measure to allow diplomats freedom of movement and activity. The most common example of diplomatic immunity being abused is parking violations. And it's hilarious. And sometimes not paying taxes. The parking violation thing is hilarious because at some point, even when an embassy racks up tens of thousands of dollars of parking tickets, at some point there are very high-level conversations between two governments where they say, okay, this guy parks like a dick, but we can't make this World War III.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. We talked about last episode a guy who had a bunch of these parking violations racked up, got a DUI, and then finally his embassy basically said, you got to get out of here. Oh, and you got to pay all those back parking tickets.
right. Yeah.
The blood price indeed.
Immunity in your destination country is not the same thing. We'll get into this, man. It gets so crazy. And spoiler, you know, the problem runs much deeper than parking tickets.
And maybe this is off base to do here, but I figured from my own edification, I'd get it out of the way. I think it might be fun to talk quickly about the difference between a diplomat, an ambassador, and a dignitary, right? So it's like, while all ambassadors are diplomats, not all diplomats are ambassadors. Ambassadors are like the high mucky muck of diplomats, representing a country, attending public kind of facing things, right?
Absolutely. Like how all mazes are puzzles, right? Not all puzzles are mazes.
And a dignitary could be an ambassador and may have diplomatic immunity or be accompanied by diplomats, but a dignitary is more a foreign visitor to a country who holds high rank of some kind, whether in the military or the government.
Yeah, a dignitary could just be someone who, through genetic accident, is a member of an aristocratic system. Right. And that's how it used to go in earlier evenings. So that's part of why diplomatic immunity exists, because the first diplomats were like the siblings and the cousins of the king, you know?
Yeah, sometimes like proving themselves by being the one that gets sort of pushed forth to like give the bad news, you know, that is funny, Ben. Even in fiction, you see that a lot where like the nephew or the son of the king will appear in court to the opposition to make known the intentions or wishes of, you know, whom he represents.
The Habsburgs say, we've got to talk to this foreign power. Which one of us has the least weird chin?
Yeah, exactly.
I have to say, guys, while we've been having this conversation, I've been delighted watching Noel's camera. For everybody listening, Noel has a new cool camera.
It moves.
Yes.
It moves and zooms.
And there's a portrait behind Noel's head, kind of to his right. And I think it keeps seeing that portrait as a person standing behind Noel, and it keeps trying to reframe that portrait.
I could stand up and look. It'll literally track me all the way to a standing position.
So
if anyone
creepy.
Wants to nerd out with a sick monitor, the Apple Studio display is expensive, but it's really, really cool, and you'll never need another monitor again.
They are not paying us to say that.
No,
fans of the monitor.
Yeah, it's a cool device.
With this, let's take a quick word from our sponsors, and let's see just how deeply problematic and conspiratorial diplomatic immunity can become.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Top reasons advanced manufacturing pros want to move to Ohio. So many advancement opportunities for technicians, machinists, managers, operators, and more. How about a powered up paycheck and an amped up career? Plus the energy of big time sports and after work, plenty of ways to unplug. The career you want and a life you'll love. Have it all in the heart of it all. Build your future at callohiohome.com.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill, pets shed, and accidents are inevitable. That's why you need a washable sofa that can keep up. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. Starting at just $699, it's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Fall 2025 auditions for AMDA are closing soon. Are you ready to take the leap? Whether you're an actor, singer, or dancer, World Class Performing Arts College AMDA wants to meet you in person. This is your shot to get expert advice, showcase your talent and energy, and change your career. And spots are filling fast. Go to AMDA.edu and schedule your audition now. That's AMDA.edu. Click Schedule Audition and take the first step today.
Here are the facts. Please, 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 fellow conspiracy realists, check out our first chapter of this series before continuing. As we'll recall, in that exploration, we talked about the ancient roots of what we call diplomatic immunity today. And we talk about some crucial misconceptions. We're going to recap these briefly just to pop the top tonight, because look, no judgment, but if you are diplomatic staff in the audience this evening, I think we can all agree it's better to know about these things in advance. And, you know, we hope you never find yourself in a situation where knowing these misconceptions applies. I think the first one we got to bust, and Matt, you alluded to it a little bit earlier. Not everyone gets this superpower. Not everyone gets full or even partial immunity. If you just travel to a country...
Wait, there are grades? There are different... Okay.
Well, it's like all a conversation and caveated and loopholed. And we'll get to some specific cases, but the main takeaway is that if you do not have the official cosign, you cannot 100% assume that your origin country will support you.
We'll back you up. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But there are instances where some form of diplomatic immunity will get you out of, like you said, parking tickets, but like a moving violation, if you're speeding to a certain extent in certain states, even if you have immunity, you're still going to have to go to court to face those charges, right? Because that is not a part of your official duties, right?
That's one of the other misconceptions. I'm glad we're bringing that up. So look, if you are not granted this superpower, which most people don't possess, it doesn't matter what's legal in your origin country. If you are, say, if you are from a place where cannabis is decriminalized or even fully legal, and you travel to a place where it's not legal, you're still in trouble. You can't be like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, Myanmar or whatever. I apologize, Singapore, but weed is fine in Portland.
Well, question, or just maybe example. I have a friend who I will not name, but did get detained in an Asian country.
In Korea, right?
That was Korea for having a weed vape. And it was right when there was a big kerfuffle and the changeover in the government there. And so this individual was held for a day, I want to say. But like the moment that that shuffle happened, they were released. I'm wondering if, you know, even if you're not a diplomat, you are a citizen of another country, and there's almost always an opportunity for that to be an act of diplomacy of some kind, to either mess with or not mess with someone from another country, depending on the nature of your relationship.
Right. Yeah. Many factors go into this. Anyone can become a pawn, right, on the board.
We've seen it.
A piece of leverage. We have seen it multiple times. We also know, to your point earlier that you raised, Matt, this get out of jail free card, this actual immunity, like the high level immunity, it applies to top notch staff. The big
and their family.
Diplo dogs and their families, and ambassadors. And part of the reason we'll see is that's simply a necessity of statecraft. But even if you have this immunity, even if you are the ambassador or family member of the ambassador's crew, a member of the ambassador's family, I should say.
Yeah.
The protection only technically applies in the course of your official duties. So let's say you are the U.S. ambassador to, let's pick a random country, one we don't talk about often.
Botswana.
There you
Botswana.
Go.
Botswana. Thanks, man. Perfect.
Nailed drew a blank it. There.
Also, I love Ladies Detective Agency.
That one was great. I forgot all about that with Jill Scott, who we had a podcast with here on the network for quite a little while.
So you're the U.S. ambassador to Botswana. For some reason, in addition to your duties, you picked up a side hustle where you're stealing Pokemon cards in bulk. You're lifting the trucks. You're heisting them, just like that meat heist.
And they fell off the trucks. What was I going to
do? Sure.
All
right.
Wait a second. Yeah. Sounds like a shadow diplomat.
So, all right. We're going to be cool.
Which, ironically, is also the name of a Pokemon.
Nice. So if you get caught boosting all these Pokemon cards,
booster
all
packs.
These sweet poke, boosting these boosters. If you've got mad boosties like Jack and Miles,
sure.
Then you would have to explain somehow why boosting truckloads of sweet Pokemon merch is part of your job as the ambassador. First off, how do you find the time of the day? But secondly, how would you explain that? It sounds cut and dry, but then to that earlier point we made, there's so many other complicated intervening factors. They're not really asking whether or not you committed a crime. That's fine. That happens. You know what I mean? That's a conversation somewhere else. But the next questions in that conversation are going to be like, do we have any sensitive deals between the two countries?
Right.
Does rocking the boat Like, does dying on this hill or fighting for the good grace of Pokemon, is that going to mess up our pipeline, our telecom deal? You know, and guys, these are things to think about.
And it's pretty gross and cliche, but an example that always seems to come up in fictionalized accounts of these type of exchanges are like someone has killed a sex worker. You know, in a hotel room, and they know, and we have to either decide, is this person so high level and valuable that we're going to cover it up for them, right? Like, it's almost a joke.
Right. And sometimes people choose pretty strident solutions mm-hmm. to those conversations. Another thing, is there a quid pro quo? Is there an opportunity in the chaos? You know, we could maybe swap some prisoners or swap some tourist or whatever. If we're one country, do we want something from the other? Could we leverage this criminal case to help us in that conversation? Like, we want a different kind of trade deal, tariff regimen. So maybe Johnny Blue Jeans,
my favorite,
doesn't have to get booked for murder. Yeah. It's weird. They all come into play. The third misconception that we cannot overemphasize is that your immunity, even if you have, you know, premium plus America immunity, it can be revoked. No matter who you are, you push the envelope too far and you can get cut loose. And this always, the way this happens is, let's say there's a serious crime, domestic abuse, money laundering via diplomatic pouches, which we shouted out earlier, and I think we're all still fascinated with. The destination country, the country where that crime occurred or where that diplomat is supposed to be working, they can make a phone call, sort of like your friend's parents at a sleepover can call your parents if you're misbehaving at the sleepover. And they can say, when the country's called, they say, look, can you guys just tell us this person does not have diplomatic immunity? And sometimes the other country will say, yeah, wait. Truckloads of Pokemon? Forget that guy. Mm-mm. No.
Too much. Too
He's
far.
He's not with us
Bridge
anymore.
Too far. Yeah.
Bridge too far.
Yeah, and we talked about an example of that where a woman was caught shoplifting and she happened to be the spouse of a diplomat, so she had diplomatic immunity through his employment with the State Department or some State Department. And she was not arrested, but the State Department was notified. And so basically they then said, actually, you don't have immunity from this specific thing. And she did end up getting in quite a bit of trouble for stealing $3,000 worth of stuff.
Which, at that level, you don't need to do it. She wasn't doing it to eat.
It was for the thrill. You know?
Yeah, it was shoplifting. Such a weird one. That's an excellent example. We also have to note that countries can be hesitant to waive immunity. First off, not all spouses and family members get tucked up into diplomatic immunity. It can vary due to a number of factors. But if, like, let's imagine we're the United States and Triforce is president. Best president in recent history, obviously. Thank you for your service, Andrew. Your administration is not going to be super open to waiving immunity in general, because it can set a precedent. You want the people who work for you to know that they do have some degree of protection. Otherwise, it feels like you're throwing people to the wolves.
The term immunity also, of course, makes one think of immunity in testifying, like in court cases, right? It's just sort of like that usually almost always is a quid pro quo situation, right? Where they're like, you do something for us and we're going to make sure that you're not in trouble or that you're, you know, get a lesser sentence or whatever. But even immunity is more than that. Like, it's more than just getting a lesser sentence. Usually it involves testifying against somebody so that the things that you do are not going to prevent you from doing that, and that you are able to have a clean slate, even though you are known to have perhaps colluded with said individual.
Or lesser charges.
Yeah, that's true.
Lesser charges, yeah. So it would be immunity from something, like in a criminal case, immunity from maybe the death penalty, or we're not going to get you on this level of racketeering.
Full immunity, however, would probably be rare, and maybe more the stuff of, you know, TV procedurals.
It can happen. You know, it's happened. Shout out Paperclip. A couple of other related things from World War II. But yeah, you're absolutely on the money there, man, because if you grant full immunity, it is almost always a kind of payment for services rendered. Mm-hmm. Help us get the bigger fish, quid pro quo. Look, if the home country does not waive immunity, which they often will not, then the destination country still has a couple of other rabbits in the top hat. The most prominent, of course, is declaring an individual persona non grata. Ooh. Which is the fancy Latin way of saying, you're not welcome here, nope. Go away. It can happen to civilians as well, but when it happens to diplomats, it usually also bundles in things like revoking their diplomatic credentials and expelling them from the country. Mm-hmm. Also, if you're declared persona non grata in a country, you can't stay there. You know what I mean? You know, I have to go home, but you can't stay in Nepal or whatever.
Time. Yep. Yeah. Was that semisonic? Supersonic? Semisonic. I think that's who did closing
time. Oh, closing time?
Mm-hmm. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Can't stay here. Yeah. This idea of expulsion or persona non grata, important to note, that is entirely the destination country's decision. They can make it at any time. They don't need approval from the home country of a diplomat. When we saw, you know, the outbreak of the newest iteration of Russia's war against Ukraine and their invasion thereof, there was international furor, and a lot of Russian diplomats were just expelled. Nobody was asking the home country of Russia to really waive immunity. They just kick the people out, and it's their decision. So immunity is not as sacrosanct as we might think it is. And the last, maybe most important point is, if you successfully claim diplomatic immunity in one country, that does not mean that you're free from all consequences. You might get away with some very unclean, evil stuff in, say, like the Japanese diplomat in Canada that we mentioned earlier, right? Domestic violence case. But then you get kicked out, you get the boot, you get shipped back home, and you have consequences in your home country. In this guy's case, in Japan, you get demoted. You might face criminal charges in your country of origin. All they did was move you to a different justice system. A system to which you are not, in this case, immune.
There you go.
And so again, despite all these loopholes, these caveats, these asterisks, there's no escaping it. Diplomatic immunity is powerful. It's necessary. I also think it purposely bakes in a window of time, right? Everybody's saying, don't act too rashly. Give us some time to go through this. You know, if there wasn't immunity on some level, there wouldn't be anything stopping a hostile country from just rounding up foreign ministry or embassy staff whenever they please and then making charges to support their agenda. That's true.
Well, yeah, because we talked about in the past, in the way, way past, especially before those conventions, you could round up everybody and accuse them of being spies, right? And that still occurs these days, where diplomats are kicked out unceremoniously from countries when their country of origin is in some way embroiled in a conflict, whether cold, hot, or, you know, what, lukewarm, I guess?
Tepid, maybe?
Yeah, countries will just say, hey, you have to get out now. That happened with the United States and Cuba not that long ago. That's the last one I can remember, but I know that there's other stuff happening even right now where, because of all of the trade war that's happening, some diplomatic relationships are being highly strained and potentially moving.
That reminds me, when are we going to Hong Kong?
You are going to Hong Kong whenever you please, sir.
All right. But this, yeah, and that's a great example. We also see that again with European governments and Russian diplomats, right? Often related to window stumbles or polonium underwear, but more so related recently to the invasion of Ukraine. In this power that is diplomatic immunity, it's a superpower. We also see opportunity for crime, corruption, and conspiracy. So tonight, what happens when this gets misused? What happens when things go wrong? We're going to pause for a word from our sponsors, who are hopefully the State Department, and we'll be back.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today
with Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Top reasons technology pros want to move to Ohio. A thriving tech industry with high-paying jobs for programmers, developers, database architects, and more. Ohio is the Silicon Heartland with the top tech brands and thousands of startups, too. Shorter commute times mean more time for you. And since your dollar goes further in Ohio, it's like a cheat code for success. The tech career you want and a life you'll love. Have it all in the heart of it all. Learn more at callohiohome.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
iHeart is looking for the next big performing arts star. Do you have what it takes? The Ultimate Talent Competition is your chance to win a full tuition scholarship to AMDA College of the Performing Arts and perform live in New York City at iHeart's Broadway and Bryant Park. If you sing, dance, or act, this is your spotlight moment. But the deadline is almost here. Submit your audition now at iHeartAMDA.com. That's iHeartAMDA.com. Don't miss your shot. The stage is waiting.
Here's where it gets crazy. We previously talked about, we sort of categorized it into different types of corruption. The first one is that people might not follow the rules. The second one is that members of diplomatic staff can knowingly use their position to aid and abet or originate criminal acts. One thing we didn't talk about earlier in chapter one is the nebulous gray area. So we mentioned that people will only get diplomatic immunity technically if it's in the course of their official employment. So riddle me this, guys: does diplomatic immunity apply to acts of tradecraft, of espionage?
So, well, I guess it depends on what they're caught for. Right.
And who you're asking, right? On the one hand, right, if you're the origin country, you could say internally, this does qualify as an act carried out in the course of an employment period. This is a job, right? But on the other hand, if you're the destination country where these shenanigans occur and you catch a foreign power spying, that's probably a crime.
Yeah, wherever it's occurring, for sure. Well, it's one of those things. Like, are you working for the State Department for some private industry for some private company? And
are you a contractor? How does that work?
Well, yeah, but let's say you're copying files and putting them onto a drive of some sort to transfer somewhere. But as a part of your official job for that private company, you're just doing your job. You're also just doing your job as your employment for the State Department. Is what part of that could be argued as like not being part of your official duties, you know, like, and is that just the espionage?
But that's the word too, official, is it not? You know what I mean? The U.S. administration comes back and says, holy smokes, we're just as surprised as you. This was our IT guy. He's there to like turn on the server.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. But what if you are just driving to a destination, right? Mm. Is that a part of your official duties? Driving to where you're supposed to function?
And you just happen to have a telescope, some scissors, a couple pieces of cloth, a GPS system that's a little off the books.
Well, but they can't search your car because you've got immunity.
Right. That's why you throw it out while you're driving away. This is, we're alluding to a specific case. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Matt. As ever, you know, in these situations, countries will often come together, right? Work out a deal. Grab some coffee in Vienna, what the hell have you. And the way this gets us to something we talked about so often in the past and remains true, regardless of where you live, you as a member of the public, as a domestic populace, your government speaks very differently to you than your government speaks to other governments behind closed doors. In general, people don't want to rock the boat. They're very smart at this level. They have dozens, hundreds of other factors to consider. And that's why, you know, you'll see people do crimes. And the worst thing that happens is they get expelled. The countries that expel diplomats are genuinely concerned that if they crack down too hard, there are going to be economic consequences. Other countries are going to say, we're not sending our people here. And then that spells disaster for goodwill. Perhaps more immediately, it spells disaster for trade agreements. So that's really what goes on trial or in consideration.
Yeah, and that's when the tariffs begin.
It's so weird, man. Like, it's surreal, it's infuriating, and it bothers me. Like, let's say you are running a country, your law enforcement has someone dead to rights. Like, they know they were digging dirt. This insert embassy employee here is not what they seem, right? And they're breaking the laws of our country, but we can't do anything because we need this telecom deal, right? We need this pipeline. We've got so many, you know, pistachios to ship abroad or whatever it may be. That's the trickiest part. People can get away with crimes, and even when they are punished, the consequences they encounter can be extremely different from those of the average civilian criminal. So maybe we talk about some specific examples, you know, getting away with murder. People do get away with a lot, way past parking tickets, cases of child abuse, domestic violence, manslaughter. We're naming specific, we're referencing specific cases. And in each of those specific genres of case we're referencing, there's more than one example. So with these considerations, yes, in theory, a diplomat of a certain level could murder someone purposely or through negligence. They could refuse to be arrested. They could skip town. In practice, that doesn't prevent them from being judged, sometimes in absentia, sometimes, as we'll see, remotely. Like, imagine appearing to court via video. And at this point, we see all those soft factors we mentioned previously. We also see the idea, as cold as it sounds, of taking a tragedy and engineering from that tragedy an opportunity. Could we have some sort of prisoner trade, a mutual extradition agreement? This brings us to the case of Harry Dunn from August 27th, 2019.
Yeah, Harry Dunn is on a motorcycle and he is traveling down the road. He is in the United Kingdom, so he is traveling on the left side of the road as
he's just 19.
Yeah, as he's making his way. It's a kid. It's already a dangerous situation being on a motorcycle, right? Well, as he's traveling down the road, as he should be, someone is traveling towards him on his side of the road. So they are traveling on the right side of the road, which is wrong way traffic in the UK. Right. And this person strikes him with their vehicle, and he is ultimately killed because of the accident, I guess, the collision, as you would call that. And then after the driver of the vehicle flags down some others and is attempting to get help, then it is found out that this 45-year-old woman, Ann Sekulis, she has this thing called diplomatic immunity.
The U.S. argues that she has this thing called diplomatic immunity. The United Kingdom disagrees. Harry Dunn is not doing bad stuff. He's driving on the right side of the road. He's a kid who likes his motorcycle. Sekulis is married to a CIA employee who at the time is stationed as at a listening station, RAF Croton. And Sekulis does cooperate with police, right? Does try to help this, help make things not a fatality. But young Harry Dunn does expire at the major trauma center in Oxford, the John Radcliffe Hospital. And when Sekulis is speaking with police, we know that things were a little murky at the beginning. There were a lot of conversations because, again, the idea of being the spouse of a diplomat hinges on two negotiable variables, right? First, is the diplomat high level enough to get that kind of family protection? Second, do both countries agree that person counts as a diplomat?
And privileges exactly the same every time, or is there?
No,
I didn't think so.
No,
really, I mean, for the spouse, like they don't automatically get all of the same protections as the actual facts diplomat.
It depends on the level, you know, like if you're the ambassador level, then there will be more privileges afforded. And it really is a privilege. So this is the thing. Sekulis admits that she's driving on the wrong side of the road. This is further confirmed by CCTV footage. No one is arguing that she did not do this, that she was not responsible for this fatal collision. Instead, everyone is frantically trying to figure out what happens next. Sekulis doesn't really wait. I mean, she talks with police, she cooperates, right? But then she claims diplomatic immunity, she skips town. And before this makes her sound like a utter villain, because I'm sure many of us have never heard the name before, she likely took these actions on the explicit orders of the U.S. government.
That's a good point.
They told her what to do. She did what they said. She wasn't becoming some kind of international ghost.
No, but it certainly didn't look great at the time, because it is essentially somebody leaving the scene of, you know, a homicide, or
not just the scene, the country.
Exactly. But it's just somebody who got out, right? When trouble arose and she did something really, really wrong. It's my understanding, though, that then the United States and the United Kingdom were working together to say, hey, what can we do here? Like, this seems weird. What is this loophole with being a, she's an analyst, but she's a spouse of this diplomat. That's why she has immunity. What do we do?
She's the spouse of a guy we, the U.S., consider a diplomat for these purposes.
Yes. No. Actually, probably.
Was she just confused about what country she was in? Why was
she left
was
an Air Force.
Intoxicated? Well, I don't understand.
No, it doesn't seem to be intoxication. There was a breathalyzer deployed on the scene. Looks more like she was leaving the base and perhaps doing distracted driving. There was actually a prior issue with distracted driving here in the U.S. a few years prior.
I see.
And they'd only been in the UK about 3 weeks.
Yeah, this is a quote from her. As I turned out of the exit from the Air Force base, taking a left turn, I instinctively moved to the right side of the road.
No, she was confused about what country she was in.
Well, she said, I knew that the proper side of the road to drive was the left side, not the right side, as I was accustomed to driving in the U.S. My action was based on instinct and not recalling in the moment that I should have been driving on the other side.
And maybe being on your phone.
Maybe.
Perhaps. Maybe being on. If you look at the case, that's what they're arguing.
I've never had to drive in the UK, but I do every time I see it in a film or a TV show or whatever, I do. Mm. My mind does like recoils a little bit. Like I do think there would be situations where it would be easy to follow that muscle memory and just kind of screw up.
Of course. Yeah. Especially if you are, you know, you're newly minted in this place with a different set of literal rules of the road. The important thing is the government of the United Kingdom was in continual contact with the government of the United States after this collision occurred. And
did we say she went to the U.S.?
Yes, she skipped out. She went to the U.S. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay,
so she,
but not in some malicious kind of fleeing the scene kind of way.
No. The U.S. government told her to do that, and she followed those instructions. The U.S. and the British government also, this is a thing that didn't get reported immediately. The British government was aware of this, and mm-hmm. they were like, you can see text messages where they were speaking with each other, and the foreign minister was saying, look, we don't. We asked you guys to waive immunity, and you said no. We don't approve of this individual leaving the country. We have strong reservations, but since you refuse to waive immunity, and she claimed diplomatic immunity, we are not going to prevent her from boarding the next flight home. And that's exactly what happened. And as the case winds on, there's a lot of tension between the UK and the US. The British public is asking more and more questions. Journalists over in the UK, who are pretty great at their jobs, they verify that Sekulis is, how did they had to be so careful at first because their reporting laws. She was, quote, previously involved with the CIA, somehow associated. Like, we're not saying you're in Wu-Tang, but you hang out with RZA a lot.
Or you were kind of in it for a little while. That's
weird. Just saying, you know, previously associated. It's terrible because imagine, you know, the family of this poor, unfortunate kid, Harry Dunn, they're really pushing and they're asking really valid questions. Like, why do the laws seem to be different for this person in particular? Is the government of the United Kingdom giving this person special protection? And why won't they tell us exactly what's happening there in the UK, right? Why can't we get the full disclosure? These are questions that just make the case look worse and worse.
Well, yeah. And so she ends up appearing via video at the inquest, what is known as there. And she talks about all of this stuff. She's still in the United States. The United States refuses to extradite her to the UK to actually stand physical trial,
right,
to be there, as they call live, mm-hmm. give live evidence there. Mm-hmm. And she ends up pleading guilty, right, in 2022.
Yeah, in October of 2022, via a remote video appearance in a UK court, she pleads guilty and she is sentenced to 8 months in jail, suspended for 12 months. She's banned from driving for 12 months. The entire time, the Dunn family is not happy with this. And I love that you're mentioning that pre-existing UK-US extradition treaty, which is a real thing. We have to remember the context in which this occurs. At this time, the UK is still refusing to extradite WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. So the Dunn family, or I should say their legal team, went to the UK government and said, well, what about this? Why don't you say, give us Sekulis and you can have Assange? At which point the UK government apparently went, oh, pish posh.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But yes. Imagine that somebody kills your child and you go through all of this for years. It's been three, right, almost 4 years.
Yeah.
You're going through all of this legal stuff.
Massive protest, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. But then finally, there is a legal plea of guilty from the person that killed your son, mm-hmm. but they're still in a different country. And the judge cannot enforce any sentence on the person that killed your son because they're in a different country.
Yeah, they have no jurisdiction.
And that's it. Issue.
And that's it.
Yeah. Reminds us of our earlier episode on Saudi fugitives in the United States. You can see all sorts of shenaniganry, And if you allow people to shenan once, what happens?
They shenanig once again.
For an even murkier case, we could check out, well, just for time, I don't know how far we want to get into it, but do check out what is called the Raymond Allen Davis incident, with a guy in Pakistan, U.S. national, later revealed to be a CIA contractor. And it gets super dirty, super quick. It's an episode all its own, I would argue.
Well, it is. You can go back and listen to our episode. Oh, I don't know if it was on the Saudi Arabian thing. We talked about, I think the dude was from Qatar, Essa Mohammed Al-Mani. It was a Qatari diplomat in the U.S. There was a lawsuit of some sort filed by people who said they were being kept at his palatial mansion.
In Beverly Hills or something.
Yeah, like to work basically as indentured servants there. Mm-hmm.
And it was the one lady who managed to scale the wall.
Exactly. Because there were allegations of sexual assault and all kinds of other stuff happening along with the terrible human trafficking stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's just there's all kinds of examples like this where a human being is covered usually by a country.
Yeah. And how about this? Let's take a break for a word from our sponsors, and then let's explore some of those KSA, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, cases in specific, other types of immunity and shenanigans.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Top reasons technology pros want to move to Ohio. A thriving tech industry with high-paying jobs for programmers, developers, database architects, and more. Ohio is the Silicon Heartland with the top tech brands and thousands of startups, too. Shorter commute times mean more time for you. And since your dollar goes further in Ohio, it's like a cheat code for success. The tech career you want and a life you'll love. Have it all in the heart of it all. Learn more at callohiohome.com.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. That's why you need a washable sofa that can keep up. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. Starting at just $699, it's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Time is running out to change the course of your career in the entertainment industry. AMDA and iHeartRadio Broadway present the Ultimate Talent Competition, your chance to win a full tuition scholarship to AMDA College of the Performing Arts and perform live in the heart of New York City at Broadway in Bryant Park this July. Whether you're a singer, dancer, or actor, if you've got the passion, the skill, and the drive, this is your shot to be seen, to be celebrated, and to start your future in the performing arts. But the deadline is closing fast. Submit your audition tape today at iHeartAMDA.com. That's iHeartAMDA.com. The spotlight is waiting. Step into it. Don't have your video ready yet? Fill out your information on iHeartAMDA.com and we'll be sure to remind you of the May deadline. No purchase necessary. U.S. residents only. Must be a high school student or current AMDA student age 13 or older. Entrant must follow AMDA on Instagram. Deadline is May 18th. Visit iHeartAMDA.com for full rules and details. Visit iHeartAMDA.com today.
And we've returned. So we're not saying that every single high-level diplomat is out to do crimes. This is absolutely not the case. But it is important to remember, and inarguably true, that they do have a higher chance of getting away with some type of crime than your average person or tourist in another country. A diplomat is essentially an officer of another country who is in a different country under the protection of their home country with an agreement, you know, between that country and the country they're in. So they are more than an individual. They are afforded more rights and privileges.
Mm-hmm. I don't just, you know, I'm not here just as Ben Winter. I am here as a representative of the Crown. For our conversations right now, I am the Crown, right? There's sure. autonomy to this.
Especially an ambassador or some sort of, you know, high-level dignitary.
So that means, yeah, just like you're saying, Noel, that means any conflict or issue with that individual immediately becomes a state-level problem. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Now we're not just locking up some joker for loose Pokemon cards. Now we're locking up, in a way, the United States government. Gotta figure this out.
Do you guys think, in the way that we always joke about loose diamonds and go bags for folks that are about to go on the run, do you think there's anyone that just has really, really valuable Pokemon cards in there?
Hell yeah.
I think there must be. There have to be. Maybe magic cards. Whatever. Yeah.
Full mock sets. I love that you dropped Ben Winter.
Mm-hmm.
That's a blast. That makes me very happy.
So we have... We have other cases of immunity that I think we want to get to. Matt, you mentioned an episode that I think really, really stuck with all three of us back in 2020. We asked, why does the U.S. have such a terrible track record letting Saudi fugitives flee the country, even if they are so not convicted of crimes, but accused of crimes, right? Maybe even made a court appearance and then made bail because they're not hurting for money, right? In this investigation, we discovered undeniable proof that the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has on multiple occasions in the U.S. and in other countries exercised state-level power to extradite, to rescue Saudi nationals who are not diplomats, who are in some case, just like might be college students, a little after college, right? They're not high-level ambassadors. We're not talking about this. We're talking about people accused of human trafficking, sexual abuse, up to and including murder. And in each of these cases from that episode, we found that the KSA has loosely put a different interpretation of diplomatic immunity. They used proxy funding, straight up state funding to do stuff like provide clean passports, sometimes under different identities, which is a real super move, to provide funding to secure bail if there was a court appearance. And as soon as bail was made, KSA immediately transported these folks outside of that destination or host country, like mm-hmm. private plane. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Off to the races. Mm-hmm. These folks don't wait in line at the security checkpoint. Exactly. It also didn't on 9/11. Whatever, keep it.
Oh, that's right. No, I remember that there being some hay made about that. Yeah, about like certain diplomats receiving much more preferential treatment, you know, in a situation that was absolute pandemonium.
Specifically from Saudi Arabia, even some family members of the guard that they said masterminded the whole thing. It's cool. Oh, yeah. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine.
Let's just do our little podcast.
Hey,
blackbacked
shadow diplomats, guys. This is really fun. Honorary consuls. Please, everyone, if you have time, please, 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 please head over to ProPublica and read a December 22nd, 2022 article titled "Shadow Diplomats Have Posed a Threat for Decades. The World's Governments Looked the Other Way." This is a fantastic article written by Debbie Sensiper and several others from various reporting outlets. And this thing goes deep into people, including a shadow diplomat slash honorary consul to the United States from guess where? Name a country.
What did we say earlier?
Botswana.
Botswana was the one. Yeah. That was it, really? Yeah.
Yes.
No joke.
This is the guy working in the United States on the behalf of Botswana. Like the top of the article details how this guy was doing some weird stuff, paying off officials to basically as a bribe, essentially, that then would change where some pension funds went. And then he made like $1.3 million off the top of the deal. And nobody officially vetted this guy. At least
I had to step out for a second. This is our honorary consul.
Yep.
Yeah, Mr. Robert Shoemake.
Yeah, yeah.
A very, very interesting person.
And, how is Bob? Yeah.
I don't know how he's doing right now. He could not be reached for comment back in December 2022. Right. But I do know just in this article, it discusses how there are an estimated 1,100 honorary consuls from different countries in the United States operating within the U.S. right now, or at least at that time. There's more or less, who knows, at this very moment in 2025. But this title operates much in the same way that all the other ones do, where you've got a diplomatic pouch that can't be searched. Mm. You can't go to their office and search it the way you would some other place if it is officially, you know, labeled as such and with the correct stuff.
You officially can't wiretap them. Officially.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's international law. to protect these folks. But the biggest question that's put forth in this this article, shadow diplomats have posed a threat for decades, is how are these individuals vetted? And then how is the State Department of the United States specifically aware of these honorary consuls in operation? And they found that I think it was 2017 was the last time they had even checked on official records of who is operating in the U.S. as honorary consuls from other countries. They took a 5-year span in between just checking to see who's operating.
And it's the DOS response to this, if I recall, because I remember this being a huge hullabaloo. Thank you for your service, ProPublica. I remember the State Department's idea, their argument in defense of this was to say, hey, this is a very large, complicated situation or milieu. And they essentially said they implied they don't have the funding to do a detailed review of everybody. Mm-hmm. So they're saying, despite the fact that this is a very powerful position, background checks, I don't know, man, just tell us if the vibe's good.
Well, yeah. Well, Mr. Shoemake, the guy that we just talked about, had been in big trouble in 2002. He lost his real estate license for all kinds of under the table junk he was doing. He got in big, big trouble a couple years after that. And then he just happens to be operating in the U.S. as this honorary diplomat.
We love tourism, man.
Oh, there's a thing called the Office of Foreign Missions, which is something I didn't know about. They put out statements at the time of this investigation. They're talking about, this is what they say, the department has zero tolerance for evidence of inappropriate activity by any member of a foreign mission, including honorary consuls.
I love that. Very pursuit of happiness. I remember reading that. The office has zero tolerance, not for criminal acts, but for evidence of criminal acts. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that meeting. yeah, man, this is crazy. I think maybe we do a third episode in this series just on shadow diplomacy. What say you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This stuff is nuts. And there's so many examples they give, guys.
And they're from the past. Yeah. So maybe in our mission on our continuing knowledge heist, maybe our mission is to find active shadow diplomats, which is legal to do. It's legal to ask that.
There's a dude from the Czech Republic who was an honorary consul in 2005. He tried to avoid paying taxes in Michigan and Ohio on a 16,000 square foot home near Detroit.
Mm. Yeah.
16,000.
At that point, just start a church, man. You know the game. We make it so easy in this country.
Well, he said the property was owned by the Czech government. It was transferred to the Czech government. Therefore, United States government cannot enforce any taxes on
right,
it.
Right, right. I think we've all been in that situation. You try to do a couple moves as April approaches. Which government did you cede your house to, Matt?
Oh, Botswana, of course.
Of course, yes. This episode is brought to you by Botswana. We don't have the time to get into some other cases of things like diplomatic immunity, particularly a case that has always really haunted us, which we talked about briefly in our Uncaught Serial Killers episode, is Issei Sagawa. This guy is the quick skinny. This is not appropriate for all audience members. The quick skinny is in 1981 in Paris, France. This guy was not a diplomat, but the son of a very powerful industrial family in Japan. He murders a classmate and he proceeds to mutilate and defile the cadaver, and he consumes pieces of the corpse, consumes pieces of the flesh. He is dead to rights. He definitely did it, but his wealthy family pushes the needle. So instead of going to French prison, he goes to a psychiatric institution. A few years later, the family in Japan push again. He is deported back to Japan. He's declared sane. All the paperwork regarding his case is lost, and he lives the rest of his life as a minor celebrity, completely free. He didn't pass away until 2022, so he was alive while we were making this show, and is a very evil person who got something like immunity. Because I feel like what this teaches us, the most troubling thing is, in the world of international intrigue, we are again and again, like, the lesson is hammered home. The crime itself is not as important as who you are when that crime is committed.
Well, yeah, and the protections that are officially in place to save you and to help you get stuff in and out of a country through a pouch that nobody can look at. Like, think about what that means. Back in the 1980s, U.S. lawmakers wanted to change this and wanted to review how diplomats move in between countries with these pouches of anything. Could be arms, could be explosives, could be drugs. Think about moving explosives quietly, secretly, without molestation by anybody on, let's say, an airplane.
Sure. Think about a shipping container in the right port.
It's just, it is horrifying. In the 1980s, guess what happened? Guess what happened with the whole diplomatic immunity review? Nothing.
What? No way.
Absolutely nothing. It died trying to get passed.
The thing is, a good grift system, and this can be weaponized as a good grift system, it's like a carousel. Nobody wants to stop the ride because everybody's got their favorite horse.
Yeah, everybody's using it, man.
And that's why these conversations keep going in circles. Let's do our part three on this. We do have a prediction for you, fellow conspiracy realist. The existing global power structure is increasingly imperiled. Right, we're in what people would call a fluid situation, especially over the near future. So this means we have a high likelihood of seeing more arguments about diplomatic immunity, more accusations of it being misused. Some claims of diplomatic immunity are going to be in good faith. They're meant to protect diplomats from actions and possibly hostile countries, but others may claim this immunity for less noble purposes, to commit crime, to exercise espionage, or worse. You know, reminds me of what our Russian friends always used to say. You'll love this, Noel. Nobody makes bulletproof vest for a third story window.
It's true.
They do make those things that, like, auto inflate when you fall over.
Yeah. Bouncy castles, like we talked about. We've got a new business we're very excited to share with you folks. We also, you know, the inflatable slides on planes, but you just can't put those on every window, apparently.
Mm-mm. It's true. We could have all officials wear those suits that auto inflate when you fall. That also have you know
that cool sound.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're also bulletproof. They're
a giant bubble immediately. Mm-hmm, yeah.
They look ridiculous too, but yeah,
it's ridiculously sick.
Also true. Also true.
maybe we should normalize it. But then, what does that lead us to? We'll tell you what this all inevitably proves, inarguably. Some people have a different set of rules, and this is the stuff they don't want you to know. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We can't wait for you to join us in some upcoming episodes. We're going to talk about how you can break physics. We'll have a little bit of a stuff they don't want you to know book club with our favorite sabotage manual from evenings of yesteryear. And in the meantime, give us some suggestions for things we should cover in episodes on the way. Find us online, give us a telephone call, or reach us at our good old-fashioned email address.
That's right. You can find us at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on Facebook with our Facebook group, Here's Where It Gets Crazy, on XFKA Twitter, and on YouTube with video content galore for your perusing enjoyment. On Instagram and TikTok, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show.
We have a phone number. It is 1-833-STDWYTK. When you call in, give yourself a cool nickname, and within the message, let us know if we can use your name and message on the air, and then tell us what you think. Was that the last pope? Is the next one the last pope? Does the pope matter? What about diplomatic immunity and all the stuff we talked about today? Just call us and say anything you want to in 3 minutes. If you've got a ton to say, if you've got links, if you've got stuff to attach, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
the entities that read each piece of correspondence we receive. Be well aware, yet unafraid. Sometimes the void writes back. Want to give a special shout out to a couple of listeners here. Skeptical Dark Horse hit us with the best pun for the upcoming Boeing F-47, the F-bomb, Federal Bombastic Overlord Maneuverable Blunderer 1010. Skeptical Dark Horse, no notes. But we'd love to get some notes from you. We'd love to share them with you. We're in ongoing discourse with many of our friends and neighbors all the world round. Who would you like to be a shadow diplomat for? Why not us? Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Fresh Florida blueberries. In a world of jumbo-sized snacks and artificial flavors, Florida blueberries stand proud, bursting with antioxidants and ready to tackle hunger, one delectable bite at a time. From muffins to smoothies or straight out of the carton, they are the tiny titans of taste, delivering freshness as bold as they are blue, proving once again that good things come in small packages. To see what Florida blueberries can do for you, visit freshfromflorida.com today.
Top reasons technology pros want to move to Ohio. A thriving tech industry with high-paying jobs for programmers, developers, database architects, and more. Ohio is the Silicon Heartland with the top tech brands and thousands of startups, too. Shorter commute times mean more time for you. And since your dollar goes further in Ohio, it's like a cheat code for success. The tech career you want and a life you'll love. Have it all in the heart of it all. Learn more at callohiohome.com.
Big things are happening at your local CVS. Extra big. You don't want to miss these extra big deals. And more are coming every 2 weeks. So keep coming back. Use your Extra Care card to unlock savings every time you shop. Extra Care is the way to save at CVS. So if you're not a member yet, join for free online or in-store and start saving. Visit your local CVS store or cvs.com/extrabigdeals to shop this week's deals.
Find home wherever you roam at Sonesta ES and Simply Suites. Stretch out and enjoy home-like amenities for however long you need.
And when you are a Sonesta Travel Pass member, staying at Sonesta ES and Simply Suites means earning points toward free nights, upgrades, and more.
Go to Sonesta.com to book your stay and unlock the best rates with Sonesta Travel Pass.
Here today, roam tomorrow. Join now at Sonesta.com.
Terms and conditions apply.